You are listening to Night Talk, giving you depth and texture to the conversations that matter. Bertha Charuma on SAFM.
And I'm joined by our two guests. That is Ambassador N.D. Mashaile is a retired Interpol ambassador for the Turn Back Crime campaign with coverage of 195 countries, as well as Dr. Shahida Omar, director of the Teddy Bear Foundation for Abused Children, who explains why children go missing and what we can do about it. Just to give you a little bit of insight why we decided to talk about this, the plot is that two men have been arrested and charged in Nigeria over the alleged sextortion of a 16-year-old Australian boy who took his own life. And this is according to the report by the police. A police investigation last year revealed the teenage boy was engaged with an unknown person online who he thought was a young woman. And the unknown person then threatened to share personal photos of him with his family and friends if he did not pay $500. And while some of the stories are reported by the media, there are several other cases that go unreported due to the secretive and criminal nature of such activities. A common feature in the cases is that young children, mostly girls, are used as sex slaves and for other commercial purposes by trafficking rings. But let me introduce our guest so that we get straight into the conversation. Andy, good evening and welcome to Night Talk.
Oh, Bertha, it is good to be on the heavyweight championship show with yourself as the athlete.
Thank you so much. And Dr. Shahida Omar, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Good evening to the listeners, and thank you for this opportunity.
I'm going to start off with you, Andy. Now, you have been in this business for a very, very long time. What has been your experience with such cases?
These cases have been on the increase ever since 2020. We have seen a serious, huge spike of these cases. Even during COVID, people were victims of these horrendous image-based crime referred to as extortion, particularly for young children. The graph has shown an upward spiral or an upward spike in our country from last year, last year meaning 2022, my apologies, 2022-2023, there has been a very serious and huge spike.
Now, you know, sextortion is a serious crime that occurs when someone threatens to distribute your private and sensitive material, commonly explicit personal images, for a ransom amount. Who is the most vulnerable? I know children are vulnerable, but I'm sure there must be a specific age group where you find this activity is more rife.
Between the ages of in 2020 coming up through to 2024, the age groupings have increased, meaning they have been targeting children less than 16 years, from 13 years, 14 years, 15 years. And this comes as a result of myself and yourself, old better, buying mobile devices or gadgets so that our children can do their homework and our children finding themselves engaged in conversations with people unknown to them and them not sharing these conversations with us. And at the end of the day, parents having had to see their children commit suicide or their children falling into depression as a result of being frightened with or threatened and frightened with their and nude images being thrown all over the internet.
Now, you being in this space for such a long time, Have you not found means or ways to track these perpetrators, or maybe even to find software that could be installed where if your child starts engaging, there could be a red flag that comes up to forewarn you as a parent?
Sadly, there haven't been an application or software that can do what you are looking for. But this is an opportunity. This question that you're asking is an opportunity to any app developer or software developer who's listening to this conversation to look at what is it that can be done to ensure that this crime is prevented. I can put it to you, Ausbeta, that parents have a responsibility and a great responsibility to know what their children are doing online. They also need to ensure that their children don't spend massive amounts of time on the net, and what their children, the people that they are engaged with, they share who they are engaging with. It is the responsibility of the parents as well as the children to be able to stem this tide by knowing what is it that their children are involved in. I have seen, and I have been told, and I have seen parents cry their lungs out because they have paid ransom to a sextortionist. They have paid ransom because they themselves, some of adults, they themselves have been victims of sextortion. Remember, the story of Black China, the musician, and Kim Kardashian West, who were also victims of sextortion. Victims of sextortion and others, even in South Africa, some serious celebrities were victims of sextortion, and most of them have paid. I am grateful to OCC Kima's wife for coming out to say there was someone who was stalking her. I think this is in 2022. There was someone who was stalking her, and please do not, for the public and the country, must not be surprised, and they must not judge her negatively when her image, when the images are thrown all over the internet. So it is very interesting and very troubling to identify that it is not only kids who are targets and victims of extortion, even for adults, women, and this is gender-based violence.
And I'm speaking to Ambassador Ndima Shaile, a retired Interpol ambassador for the Turn Back Crime campaign with coverage of 195 countries, child sextortion in South Africa. And also on the line, I've got Dr. Shahida Omar, director of the Teddy Bear Foundation for Abused Children, who explains why children go missing and what is it that we can do to mitigate this particular problem. Now, I'm coming to you, Dr. Shahida Omar. Please explain how children actually go missing.
Well, I think firstly we need to understand, as our learned ambassador spoke to, the fact that children are spending much more time online. And if we look at the parental demands, the stresses, and the financial constraints of monitoring and overseeing children all the time, the online platform seems to become a surrogate caregiver of children, where parents often feel that my child is at home, my child is under my roof, and I feel quite secure that my child is not out clubbing or sitting in a shebeen or a tavern drinking alcohol or engaging with friends outside. So my child is actually quite safe and supervised under my roof. And this is one of the reasons, there are numerous reasons, but one of the reasons where this false perception that children are safe and parents allow children to remain online without actually being aware of the dangers that lurk online. We know your preferential abusers, your career abusers, are people who are sitting and waiting online to lure these children, because often children are engaging, and every child wants to be validated, wants to be recognized. And if we look at our family structure, the nucleus family. Your parents are working, both parents are working, they come home from work, they've got other stresses, they've got other demands, and they spend maybe a little bit of time, but not sufficient time to actually focus on the child's interests, the child's needs, what has affected the child's worries, concerns, and your online predators actually so in tune with this, they actually lure the child where they start focusing, providing preferential attention, and showing a lot of interest in the child's hobbies, activities, child's concerns, and like our ambassador spoke to, that they often impersonate themselves. So the child sees he or she is talking to an age mate. The images that are exchanged initially, the facial images, may be of that an age mate, and we know there's a lot of photoshopping, so it's not genuine images, and the child then gets attracted and starts slowly sharing information. And it's breaking down those barriers. That's what happens, slowly eroding those barriers, and the grooming process starts. So grooming is very important because the child is now starts gravitating towards this relationship, starts seeking out this relationship because there's so much attention and somebody's actually listening to the child and showing the child that you are special, you are more than special. So the attention that is being focused, the compliments, the flattery that the child is receiving is something that would be very difficult for any child to let go or release. And they start holding on to that, latching onto that, and this kind of misused love is actually, of course, used to exploit the child without, unbeknown to the child, that this is all part of the process of child trafficking, and the child starts providing information innocently about parents going to work, where they work, working hours, where the child goes to school, the route the child takes. All sorts of information is provided. And of course, your child trafficker, that's a fertile ground to have access and availability, because often the questions and discussions that parents and children have are not around the possibility of express kidnapping or being abducted or being trafficked or being used for child labor or organ harvesting. These are all the reasons that children go missing for. These are not conversations that are held regularly. I think parents, every time we hear of a case, there's hype and media over it, but it's not taken seriously, where the serious engagement and discussion that, yes, the internet is an excellent platform for knowledge, growth, and development, but it's also a very dangerous platform where people get hurt, where people are actually lured into situations that they're not ready for, or they tricked into it, and it could be catastrophic. So this is a conversation that I think we need to empower and equip and enable all our parents out there. That this means, we know that raising children does not come with a parenting manual and what kind of conversations to have. So it's important that there are platforms created. There are workshops. There are leaflets, all sorts of, frequently asked questions and checklists where parents need to know who their child is communicating with, explaining to children that, do you know who you're communicating with because you haven't seen the person? Don't ever agree to meet with somebody you've never seen before. You don't know. You've heard and that information has been shared with you, or information has been exchanged. So. These are serious, conversations, Bertha, that needs to be had with children from that time they start using tablets. And we know that children already at the age of 3 are using devices.
True.
It's not unusual. And if we look at the exposure, the experts of the child sexual abuse material that is also popping up, pornography every 2 seconds, it's something that the child has not purposefully sought out or looked out for, but it pops up. Rule 34, if there's any word that exists and you type that word, then you're going to find that there's going to be a pop-up of some kind of pornography. So, I just feel that we need to be aware that all these things, the relationship building and then, of course, sharing images and then slowly, I'm actually doing this, I'm doing that. There's an advertising industry. there's some, you could actually pose for some, oh, you're so beautiful. Like you said earlier, females are more vulnerable. The incidence of females is definitely higher than males. But, of course, males are not exempted from the scourge of missing or being exploited or trafficked. But in the fashion industry, advertising industry, girls are lured, and we find we've had cases where girls disappear in an afternoon. Three girls disappeared, and their whereabouts were unknown. And, of course, because of Missing Link and other organizations, Be on the Lookout was sent out, BOLO, and chaps got involved, and they were traced, where a recruiter had befriended one of the girls online. And, of course, informed the girls that there would be attractive remuneration benefits. All they have to do is, firstly, they had to send their facial images. Then it was in the swimming costume. Then it was for a photo shoot. And that's how, it progresses, where they prey, on the victim, and the victim disappears with no trace.
Yeah. Dr. Shahida, what should we do? Where do we get, for people to be well informed, and also just, lessons to give parents so that they are more diligent? Where do we go? Who do we talk to? Because I would like to believe you've seen this numerous times, and you've ended up with children that need rehabilitation, and you've seen the trend. What should parents do if someone is listening to us right now?
Well, the first thing parents need to do is communication, regardless of the age of the child. But they also need to have ground rules, as our learned ambassador said, using devices that parents also need to be aware of whom their children are communicating with on social media as well. If a child is on social media, we know there's a age criteria. So the moment a 13-year-old or an older child is on Facebook, the parent needs to be a friend on their Facebook page. These are things that they need to have ground rules on, but also the use of devices need to be limited, and there needs to be an agreement, a kind of a contract between parents and child. And they need to also have the opportunity to actually see what the child is doing and who is the child communicating with. So firstly, communication. Secondly, ground rules. Thirdly, I know you asked about software, and I know that a lot of tech companies, there's a lot of pressure now globally. I was at one of the IFPCAN, International Society for Prevention of Child Abuse, meetings, and in Europe, they've got tech companies coming on board, and this has certainly assisted and protected children from the scourge of trafficking, exploitation, and disappearing into the sunset. So there is an overarching responsibility here. Parents do have a huge responsibility, but we cannot dismiss the fact that government has an additional responsibility, and tech companies need to come to the party to ensure the protection and safety of children. So parents, we need to communicate, but also the moment your child disappears, please report it ASAP, immediately. Not wait for 24 hours. There's Missing Link South Africa, there's the FTS unit, the FTS unit, the Family Violence, Child Protection and Sexual Offences unit. There's other lifelines, child lines. There are lots of toll-free numbers as well that you can reach out to immediately. I think the key thing is that there needs to be an immediate response, not a delayed response, because the moment a child goes missing, in 1 hour they change so many hands that, once the time has lapsed, it becomes more and more difficult to trace the child. Because, crossing borders and being trafficked, and then, of course, they're exposed to substances, drugs, etc., for sexual exploitation, that is inevitable, that's going to happen. But if it's for child labor, of course, they're going to another country, and it's very difficult then to find them. So, parents need to know where their children are. That needs to be another ground rule. Wherever they go, they need to keep their parents informed. Their parents need to be able to trace their location if the child has device with him or her.
Dr. Shahida Omar, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And I'm going to wrap up with our cybersecurity advisor, Andy Mashaile. I have not forgotten about you, Andy. Now, you being an individual that has been in this environment, you've seen this happen so many times. Just a word of advice to parents out there. Look, we take these things for granted and it can happen to anyone. And I like, you know, nowadays, young parents think that they're being funky by buying all these devices and giving their children all these devices so soon and so earlier in life. What would be your advice?
My advice is, if one is a victim of sextortion, one, you gather all the information on these sites where the naked pictures would be posted or something like that. Number two, you file a police report. Number three, you file an incident report with the administration of the relevant platform. If it's Facebook, TikTok, whatever, WhatsApp, whatever relevant platform. Number four, consult an attorney so that you can best be advised on how to navigate the prosecutorial side of the fight against or of the fight to reclaim your identity. This crime is governed by the Films and Publications Publications Act of 2019 in South Africa. Should one be, they should listen to me, the criminals who might be doing this and are listening to this show, we must tell you that you will spend 4 years jail time and you'll be fined 300,000 rand on top of the 4 years that you'll spend in time. In Canada, jail time is 4 years. In England and Wales, jail time is 2 years. In Israel, jail time is 5 years. In Japan, jail time is 3 years plus 500,000 yen. Why am I talking? Why am I sharing the international sentences on this show? It is because a law enforcement agency is working through Interpol and having country-to-country relationships have realized that sextortion as well as crime online is borderless. It's transnational. So these countries cooperate, as in the case of the two people who were arrested in Nigeria for a crime that happened in Australia. I am going to implore upon our law enforcement agencies to continue cooperating in ensuring that the victims of cybercrime, the victims of transnational organized crime that includes human trafficking, that includes trafficking in children, is stopped. Remember, Osbeta, that trafficking in children in the whole world is 1.2 million children per annum. 600,000 of those children who are trafficked worldwide come from Africa, and a sizable number come from our home country here in South Africa. So we have got a responsibility as those in the safety and security and law enforcement space to ensure that there is cooperation that is aimed at one.
Yes, I'm listening.
We stop the tide of this evil and satanic crime of trafficking in children, of sextortion, and for our sisters who are adults in this instance, we save our sisters, we save our mothers from becoming victims of sextortion and image-based, gender-based violence crime.
Andy Mashaile, thank you so much for making time this evening. Cybersecurity advisor talking to us, and we've been talking about child sextortion in South Africa and, of course, cybersecurity. It happens to anyone. It can happen to you as we speak. And it's always important to, you know, be well informed before it happens to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. And also Dr. Shahida Omar, director of the Teddy Bear Foundation for Abused Children, who explains why children go missing and what we can do about it. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. When we get back, we talk about Zimbabwe's central bank launching a new structured currency backed by gold. What does this all mean when we get back?